Good morning. It is time to get up with Deshaun's destination. A new contender has emerged in a big way. Could shake up everything. We'll start there. Then, this former Texan has teams doing backflips. Still good enough to shift the balance of power. We'll tell you where he's winding up. And then, LeBron James throws out a fascinating idea. Some will call him crazy. I say he's absolutely right. All that and more on this Wednesday edition of Get Up as we get rolling with you right now. Greeny here from New York. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us and look at the squad that we have put together to talk sports with you today. Dominique Foxworth is ready to go. Dan Graziano's got the inside. And we welcome Torrey Smith to the program, two-time Super Bowl champ and a man who has lived his entire life in awe of Dominique Foxworth. I was told to say that. All right, we get it rolling today, and let's go. We start with the big news from yesterday. Deshaun Watson, certainly no surprise that he has been unwavering in his desire to move on from Houston despite the organization's unwillingness to trade him. On Monday, on NFL Live, our Panthers reporter David Newton presented an offer Carolina could make. Sounds pretty good. Listen to this.
Panthers will do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson, and that includes giving up three first-round draft picks and Christian McCaffrey. Now, owner David Tepper wants to win a Super Bowl. He's made that clear. He understands it takes a marquee quarterback to do that. Now, if you look at recent history outside of Patrick Mahomes, the quickest way to do that is to trade for a marquee quarterback and not draft one in the first round. Just ask Tampa Bay.
So certainly, in Tampa Bay, that worked out for them awfully well. Graziano, let me start with you as far as the Deshaun Watson Carolina of it all. What do we think?
Look, if and when Houston decides to move on from Deshaun Watson, which again, they're telling teams they're not going to, if and when they do, Carolina, I expect to be one of the most aggressive bidders for Deshaun Watson. We've heard a lot from Carolina about how they want to upgrade at quarterback. They have Teddy Bridgewater. He's got a $10 million guarantee as part of his salary this year, but they would eat that if they could upgrade over him. They called about Matthew Stafford and tried to get him before he ended up with the Rams. Deshaun Watson is someone who would be of great interest to Carolina. In terms of the package that David is talking about, I think that was part of a bold predictions segment, and it certainly is bold, but it's the kind of thing that would absolutely get Houston's attention. You have obviously a highly paid but special player in Christian McCaffrey, and then the three first round picks that would help them rebuild. Remember, Houston light on picks as a result of all those trades that they made for players the last couple of years.
All right, so there are some ways in which this makes sense. Torrey, I'm actually going to come to you here because you played in Carolina and you were telling us this morning there are a lot of reasons why this move might make sense. What are those?
It makes a lot of sense simply because of who the team owner is. David Tepper is a guy who made his billions, excuse me, I'm about to disrespect him by saying millions, made his billions of dollars by simply being willing to take bold risks. And you think about being able to trade for Deshaun Watson, why does it make sense? Obviously, he's a top five quarterback, and they don't just grow on trees. On the other side of that, he went to Clemson. He's as local as he gets. So you're talking about a businessman who wants to win. It's the perfect combination, adding Deshaun Watson and also exciting that fan base and getting those fans back in the stadium like they were when Cam Newton was there.
Dominique, do you like it as a fit for him? Because, again, Deshaun will have all the say in how this plays out because he has the no-trade clause. If you're Deshaun Watson, are you thinking Carolina? Sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, I think Carolina might be a good long-term destination because I think Matt Rhule is building something there and you can trust what he and Brady are doing with that offense. But first of all, before we get into the analysis, Greeny, the check's in the mail for how you led the show. I really appreciate that. That is not true, but I'll take it. But I do think it's a great fit for Watson for a long-term situation. I don't know that it's the best immediate situation. I do, however, think that David Tepper is going to be aggressive in getting rid of or trading away Christian McCaffrey. I think sounds attractive, but if Houston's trying to rebuild their team, I'm not sure that you rebuild it around a running back, not in the modern NFL. You might want to send him back and get a fourth first-round pick. That'd be a lot more valuable to a team that doesn't expect to be good right now.
How about the other side of this? How about if you're Christian McCaffrey, you just spent an entire season basically injured, but you've been the best player on that team, you're Teddy Bridgewater, and you have been pretty good. You played pretty well there. And now all of a sudden, Nick, you're hearing your name out there and all of this. What does that mean?
I mean, I hate it, but it's the way of the business. I think we have Draymond Green later in the show talking about it. It is the way it happens. It's the way that you're treated, and we all expect that players are supposed to be able to compartmentalize those things, and NFL players, professional athletes, are great at compartmentalizing certain things, but it's impossible not to have that seep into your mind. If they do not get Deshaun Watson, you have to come back in that locker room, be it Christian McCaffrey or Teddy Bridgewater or any other player that might be rumored to be traded. It's hard to walk back in there and feel the same when you realize that you're expendable and the team only, the like team atmosphere and the team feeling only extends as far as those locker room doors. Anybody who is outside of those doors, upstairs in particular, those guys don't look at this as a team as much as they look at it like a business.
And look, the reality of the situation is, if we're going to live in an era of trade demands, that means we're going to live in an era of trades, which means we're going to live in an era of hurt feelings. And that just kind of goes with it, Tori. What do you think of that? It's not the way the NFL has traditionally operated. But if this trade doesn't happen, then maybe Bridgewater and McCaffrey got to go back there and play there. And how's that going to work?
I mean, and they'll be ready to roll. That's just the nature of this business. You're always replaceable, which is why I love this new era that the athletes are pushing for more control. Owners and teams will always do what's best for them. So as a player, you have to be willing to just suck it up and just go to work, because ultimately you have no control at the end of the day unless you want to leave. You can force your way out and you can do different things. But trade deadlines, I've been a part of trade rumors before. I've been traded before. And it hurts your feelings a little bit. I'd be a liar, especially when you actually like where you are. But that's just a part of the business. The business, and guys have learned to just roll with the punches.
All right, so we will leave that one there for the moment, but that one is worth keeping an eye on. Make a little bookmark next to the Carolina Panthers and the Deshaun Watson possibilities. Meanwhile, let's move on to Cleveland, because that's an interesting destination, potentially, for a superstar. Baker Mayfield led the Browns to an 11-5 record this year, even without Odell Beckham for 9 regular season games. Mayfield had his best season by far. Cleveland made the playoffs for the first time since 2002, won a playoff game for the first time since the 90s, and now they are looking to potentially add that man, J.J. Watt, to a defense that was tied for the 10th fewest pressures in the NFL last season. And this sort of came to the fore yesterday. Mary Kay Cabot, who's an outstanding reporter in Cleveland, tweeted, "Ex-Texans J.J. Watt is seriously considering the Browns as one of the options because they have a lot of what he wants," sources tell Cleveland.com. So there are a lot of different ways to analyze this. Dominique, I'm going to start with this one first. If J.J. Watt is at a stage of his life and career in which he would be ring chasing, and that's not meant in a negative way, he's made a ton of money. The one thing he hasn't done is win. It makes sense. Does Cleveland all of a sudden seem like a logical place to do that?
No, not given the other possibilities that are out there. Like Green Bay is another one that's rumored. I think Buffalo is getting some rumors. Those teams feel closer to me to championships than Cleveland. I think when Mary Kay Cabot says it has a lot of the things that he wants, I think those things are Myles Garrett. Like that sounds really attractive to a guy like J.J. Watt, who is double teamed so much and is still an effective pass rusher from both the inside and the outside. I think what's attractive about Cleveland is playing in the vicinity of Myles Garrett and knowing that you're not the number one priority. For the first time in your career, you walk out on the field and offensive linemen and offensive coordinators are stressing out about somebody else, and you can go in there and make plays and contributions from either the tackle or the edge spot in the way that you probably have never, ever, ever been able to do in the history of your career. Even when Jadeveon Clowney was there, the offenses were still focused on finding ways to stop J.J. Watt. So if J.J. Watt can stay healthy and play opposite Myles Garrett, that's a problem. Otherwise, I don't know that Cleveland is the best place to put to win a championship. Certainly, if you're looking at recent history, it's not the case.
3-time defensive player of the year is J.J. Watt. So, Tori, imagine you're him. Imagine you're him at this moment in your career. Where are you thinking, I'm going to sign, and it gives me the best chance to win?
I think Cleveland is a solid option simply because this isn't the same Cleveland Browns. But the reality of it is, like Dominique said, there are better options out there. If I was J.J. Watt, he really has a storybook ending on two sides. He can go back to Wisconsin and play for the Green Bay Packers and be in his hometown or in his home state, or he can go and play with his brothers, which is the option that I would choose. If you're going to go and compete at a place that is not a sure thing, it's not like picking the Kansas City Chiefs, which is a popular destination for anyone that wants to chase a ring at this point because of Patrick Mahomes. But Pittsburgh has a rare opportunity for him to play with both of his brothers, TJ and Derek, and that's something that, again, you couldn't even write a story better than this. And if I was JJ, because it's not all about the money at this point, that's the place that I would consider.
So, Dan Graziano, what are we hearing as we look around the league here? What are we hearing about possible destinations for J.J.?
What I've been told is, yes, the priority for J.J. Watt is that he wants to win. He wants a place that gives him a chance to win. And that, yes, the two most appealing options would be Pittsburgh because his brothers play there and Green Bay because of his connection to Wisconsin. And obviously both of those are organizations that have long histories of winning and have been contending teams in recent years. So those are very appealing. He's gotten interest from a lot of different places. Cleveland, yes. Tennessee, yes. Buffalo, yes. And of course, you can't rule anything out. My understanding is they want to take a little time and make this decision. But when all is said and done, Pittsburgh has serious salary cap and financial issues to address of their own before they can start talking about bringing in people from the outside. I think Green Bay looks like the most likely landing spot for J.J. Watt at this point.
And then, Dominique, back to you, because the question is, look, that Texans defense was so bad this year, and Watt has been injured a lot over the last few seasons. You wonder just how much of a difference does he make at this point? Have you taken a look at any film?
Yeah, I mean, I've started watching him recently once he got released, and he was much more effective last year than I remembered him being and I thought he would be. So I still think as long as he's healthy, he can contribute to a team. His sack numbers may not be amazing, but we all know that sacks are sometimes dependent on other things. He's going to get pressure or command double teams. Those are the only two options if J.J. Watt lines up in the interior or exterior of your defensive line. And I wanted to comment on one thing that Torrey said about playing with your brothers. Like, Torrey's won two Super Bowls, so maybe he can talk about winning Super Bowls like it's no big deal. Don't nobody want to play with your brothers that bad. You can play with them at the Turkey Bowl for the rest of your life. I'm good on that nonsense. Send me to Green Bay where that quarterback can still cook. I don't care about those brothers. I'll see them when we're 45. We can play catch in the backyard with my two Super Bowl rings. I'm good on all that family nonsense with those guys. I'll pass.
Dory, come on. You going to respond to that?
He got all these Super Bowl rings.
I mean,
he's
listen,
too busy winning those.
Everyone isn't able to have two rings, so I understand his hate. But J.J. Watt is clearly a family man, and that's something that he's all about. So I wouldn't be surprised. And again, football-wise, it does make sense. If Ben Roethlisberger plays the way he's supposed to play, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a contender as well.
Did I mention these two guys both went to Maryland? And did we mention that Torrey has two Super Bowl rings and Dominique has two fewer than that? Okay, Dan Graziano, let's run the hurry up here through a bunch of notes. Start with Trevor Lawrence. What's the story?
Trevor Lawrence had surgery yesterday on his left shoulder, his non-throwing shoulder. I'm told that the surgery went well, and the expectation is that Lawrence can begin throwing in 4 to 6 weeks. They believe he will be ready in time for training camp for whichever team it is that ends up picking him, whoever that might be. We have to wonder. It could be Jacksonville, not all the way sure. Anyway, Von Miller could be joining J.J. Watt as a veteran pass rusher on the market at some point soon. Denver has until March 16th to decide to pick up the option on his contract for 2021. He's owed $18 million this year, coming off a significant injury. I would not be surprised at all, and nor should anyone else be, to see Von Miller on the free agent market here in the coming weeks. I'm not going to say we're going to see Dak Prescott on the free agent market. Dallas still intends to sign him. Contract talks have not advanced beyond where they were last week and the week before that and the week before that and the week before that when we were talking about all this. But our Todd Archer, our NFL Nation Cowboys reporter, did propose an interesting solution yesterday on ESPN.com. If Dak wants the shorter deal and the Cowboys want the longer deal, Todd's proposal would be a 6-year deal that automatically voids after 4. We don't have to get into the whole intricacies of NFL contract structure, but interesting that there is a potential solution there that could make both sides happy.
Yes, interesting is a good word for something that makes no sense, frankly. It's a 6-year deal that is actually a 4-year deal. That feels
all
like
the time.
A possibility. But another possibility was raised on this program this week by our very own Mike Tannenbaum, the general manager, known for some wheeling and dealing. He had a different idea for what the Dallas Cowboys might do if they feel that at some point they need to try and work out a trade involving Dak Prescott. Here's what he said.
Trade to the Bears for 3 first-round picks. You don't think Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace would give up 3 first-round picks to have a young franchise quarterback in Dak Prescott? So I agree with you. The best way for them to cut their losses today is to try to get 3 ones for Dak and start all over again, because you have an aging running back in Zeke Elliott that's getting paid too much. You've lost good young players, so you might as well start over now. You can't win with Andy Dalton. I think it's a great idea.
So whenever it comes to Dak, I always start with you, Dominic Foxworth, and from the look on your face, we can tell why. So that conversation stemmed from my pointing out that the Cowboys have mishandled this to a point where trading him away might actually be their best and only option. They are probably staring, if they don't do that, if they franchise him this year, at paying him $70 million to play two seasons for them and then having him walk and getting nothing in return a year from now. So it is possible, it is conceivable, that trading him away, a sign and trade, is actually their best option. Dominique, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think they should treat my cousin Dak with a lot more respect than they are right now. They should have signed cousin Dak a long time ago. My play cousin is a top five quarterback in the league, and he deserves to be compensated as such. But I do think from the Cowboys' standpoint, yes, you've made a lot of bad decisions or indecision that got you to this situation. I think that trading him, if you can get three first-rounders for him, then it's something that you have to consider. But I don't think that Dak wants out. Like, Dak is the perfect quarterback for that situation. He's done everything that they've wanted up until this point, and he doesn't seem like he is on the Deshaun Watson path where he's going to force his way out. So why would you get rid of a franchise quarterback? They're so hard to find. And I know sometimes we just give the guy a label of franchise quarterback because he's the starting quarterback of the team. No, there aren't many real, legitimate franchise quarterbacks that you can build around and be competitive with if you put the right pieces around. Dak Prescott is that. He is perfect in Dallas, and I don't know why they have bungled this as much as they have up until this point, but they should stop. Give my man his money for 3 years, 2 years. Give him a one-year deal because that's what you're going to end up doing with this franchise tag.
That basically is a one-year deal. Tori, why were you shaking your head?
Because the Dallas Cowboys just, they bring problems to themselves. They should have dealt with Dak's paycheck and paid him what he deserved two seasons ago. Now we're here. He's done everything that he's supposed to do as a player. You can tell the difference in his team as soon as he left, and it's bigger than simply on the field. His leadership skills is something that you just can't put a price tag on. And Dominique said it best. There are only a few guys in this league that are true franchise guys. Dak is perfect for Dallas, and he's done everything right, yet they refuse to pay him as such, and it's continued to dig them into a bigger hole. I just hate that we have to continue to talk about all of the reasons why they aren't getting it done instead of celebrating them actually signing him to the deal that he deserves, because we saw what happened when he wasn't in the huddle, and they missed that, and he's a huge part of their team and their process going forward if they're going to be contenders again.
Yeah, he is that rare example of an athlete who actually his leverage increased when he got injured and knocked out for a season. So, Dan Graziano, just coming back to you here, and we know this is about years. You've told us multiple times. This is, for some reason, is about the structure of the contract more than it is about the money. I don't even want to go down that road again. Let's live in this place here. What are we hearing as far as will they franchise him? Will he sign the franchise tag? Would they consider trading him if they don't get a long-term deal? Are those conversations that have even begun at this point in Dallas?
Well, some are, some aren't. Look, if they don't get a long-term deal done by March 9th, which is the latest you can franchise someone, they will definitely franchise him. There's no right. question about it. They do not want him to walk, and that would buy them more time. They'd have until July 15th. To do a long-term deal. Now, obviously, they'd be in a tough spot. The franchise tag goes up when you use it for the second time, and it would hurt them on their salary cap. But they're not letting him out of the building. Look, the Cowboys did not call about Matthew Stafford. They haven't called about Deshaun Watson. Their plan is for Dak Prescott to be their quarterback this year and beyond. They still believe that they can have that. And he hasn't expressed any desire to not be there. And if you're going to franchise and trade him, as we've seen teams do with some players in recent years, he has to agree to that because he would have to sign the franchise tag before a trade could happen. So that would limit your leverage in terms of where you could send him. He would have control over that situation. I still believe this will get done at some point. I don't know what it'll look like when it does. If it doesn't and he plays on the tag again this year, he's probably done in Dallas after 2021.
And Nick has made the point repeatedly. The only person who doesn't seem incredibly angry about this and like he's desperate to get out of there is Dak himself. We'll see where he winds up going. So all of that football will continue. But how about this comeback last night from the NBA? No Kyrie Irving last night for the Nets in Phoenix. No Kevin Durant for the Nets in Phoenix, but they had that man, James Harden. They were down by as many as 24, but now they're chipping away. It's a 13-point game, and there goes Harden to the floor. He's got 14 of 22 last night, added 11 assists. They're back in the ballgame. Then here comes more from James Harden. He was 5 of 11 from 3. It's an 8-point game. To the fourth quarter we go. Inside of 2 minutes, it's a 5-point game, and Jeff Green is setting the screen for Harden. And Harden, is taking it to the hole. It's a three-point game. Again, they were down 24. Next, Brooklyn, possession, still down three. They flipped the script. This time it's Harden setting the screen. It's Green getting to the hole. He had 18 off the bench. It's a one-point game. Then, after a Phoenix miss, Nets still down one. James Harden, you can't give him any space. I mean, any space. The Nets took 40 threes last night. They made 20 of them. As we take another look, Harden had 38. Nets come all the way back from 24 down. They win it on the road, 128-124. All right, we're just getting rolling. As we continue, one Philly legend says trading Carson Wentz would be a mistake. You're going to want to hear this. You will, and we'll decide whether or not he's right. Plus, LeBron James, he's the king on the court. But would he have also dominated on the field? That's the question. We'll have the answer. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by GEICO. You could save even more by bundling home and car insurance. All right, and right now I insist we talk about golf, Dominique Foxworth, because yesterday was the 25th anniversary of the release of the movie Happy Gilmore, and Adam Sandler, in commemorating that anniversary, reenacted the legendary Happy Gilmore swing. Dominique, have you seen the movie Happy Gilmore?
Yes, it was the only time I enjoyed watching golf. That and when Tiger first won the Masters. Other than that, snooze fest.
Happy Gilmore, the second funniest golf movie ever. Adam, a happy anniversary to you. Okay, as we continue, an Eagles legend believes the key to Carson Wentz staying in Philly could be Jalen Hurts. We'll explain as we go. And sneaky Hembo is looking at Graziano today. Here we go. Wentz is one of two active quarterbacks to lead the NFL in both sacks and interceptions in the same season. Who's the other? Graziano takes his shot next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we are back. And Dan Graziano, this is Hembo at his sneakiest. Carson Wentz is one of two active quarterbacks to lead the NFL in both sacks and interceptions in the same season. Who is the other?
I feel like he's trying to be sneaky, because is it not Jameis Winston from just 2 years ago? Didn't he have a ton of both?
I think that is the direction he wanted you to go. It is not. It is another high draft pick. The answer is Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles in 2015 led the NFL in both sacks and interceptions.
Blake Bortles.
How about that one? How about Hembo?
An active player. Yes.
I guess Graziano still dominating him on the 2021 season by a score of 10-8. Okay, well, let's move on here. We were talking about Carson Wentz for a reason, because conventional wisdom seems to be that Wentz is already out of Philadelphia. The whole world has already traded him. We're just waiting to see where. But the whole world does not include Eagles legend Ron Jaworski. He was on KJZ yesterday, and he said this.
If you ask me just on a pure talent perspective, I think it's Carson Wentz, but that is not how this has played out. I believe that he has tremendous God-given talent that I think he still has a bright future. Jalen Hurts played well in four games, but I just don't think the sampling is big enough to say, yeah, Jalen Hurts should be the quarterback. I think at this point, hey, you know what? Go to camp. Let two guys battle it out. Isn't that what professional sports is all about?
All right, so that's just a perspective we haven't really heard much of. And the good news is, Torrey Smith, you played with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. You were actually on that Super Bowl winning team in 2017. So what is your perspective on this question about Carson Wentz and whether or not he should be back in Philly?
Yeah, I think Carson is mature enough to handle being able to come back to Philadelphia and competing for the job. But why would he want to? I feel like, and that's no attack against the Eagles personally, but as a player, you've been benched. You've shown that you needed protection, you needed more weapons around you, and they use a second-round pick, which is a high pick, on a quarterback. Not someone to protect you, not another receiver to throw the ball to. And that doesn't show to me, even though you pay me money, that doesn't show me that you're trying to build around me. So the combination of that and actually being benched shows me that it could happen again. And if I were Carson, that's being selfish as a player, I would want to go somewhere else to compete simply because I know my value has a ceiling in Philadelphia.
All right, so let me then just ask you very directly, do you believe Carson Wentz can be a great quarterback in the National Football League?
I know Carson Wentz can be a great quarterback, but you need these things to happen. You need great protection or solid protection, and that's important. And it's not just for Carson Wentz. We saw what happened in the Super Bowl with the best player in the league and Patrick Mahomes, how he looked when he didn't have protection. You also need formidable weapons around you and guys that you've had an offseason with. That wasn't able to happen this year. Carson, and also that goes up front with the big guys as well. He had 25 different offensive line combinations. Now, Carson is responsible for some of it. There were some poor decisions being made, but the environment wasn't like the most successful place that, or the easiest place for a quarterback to be successful. And I just think that's one thing that weighed on him. And you saw what happened when he had that environment. If you can recreate that environment, you can bring Carson Wentz back to the man that I know him to be.
So, Dominic, this is not contrary, but certainly somewhat different from what most of the conventional wisdom on Carson Wentz has been here. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you can recreate that environment, you could turn just about any quarterback in the league to a great one. That offensive line was the best in the league. That defensive line was dominant. And he was so lucky that year also with like third and longs. Like, it was a great season. And I think Carson Wentz is not a bad, terrible, terrible quarterback like he looked last year. But if you're a mediocre quarterback and things fall off, or if you're a great quarterback and things fall off around you, you become a mediocre quarterback. He wasn't even mediocre last year. And I understand the idea that people see hope in the player that Carson Wentz can be, but he needs to follow that up with some production, and he hasn't had that in a while. And I do think that part of this is he is not necessarily built for a city like Philadelphia or a team like the Eagles. And I'm not sure Chicago is going to be much kinder to him. They don't have a great situation there offensively, and their media and fans are just as tough on their quarterbacks as Chicago is. And I know Chicago is one of the leading places where Wentz is going to go. I'm not so sure that he's going to go there and follow Nick Foles there and have more success in Chicago than he had in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, all the talk about Indianapolis, to the point you just made, Dominique, I think a lot of quarterbacks could go to Indianapolis and have success, right? Because the situation is tailor-made. Dan Graziano, just to be clear, though, on what Ron Jaworski is saying, this whole idea that Carson Wentz is about to get traded, that's Wentz-driven, right? As much as anything else, right? It is he who is driving wanting him out of Philadelphia. At least I believe that is the conventional wisdom. Is that an accurate perception?
Yeah, I think that's how it generated. Obviously, it's reached a point where the team and the player agree, right? I mean, the Eagles are working on trading him, and I believe that they will. So it got to a point where he doesn't want to be there. Let's move on. But yeah, I think that's how it started, was Wentz telling them or letting it be known that he didn't want to be there. I think he'll end up out of town. You know, Colts would be a preferable destination, as you mentioned, because of the offensive line situation. But I think it'll be one of those two teams, and it'll be some time in the next couple of weeks.
So why hasn't it happened yet, Dan? We had heard it was imminent. Why hasn't it happened yet?
The only real deadline on this would be March 20th. Which is a date on which Carson Wentz will receive a $10 million roster bonus. Now, if you're the Eagles and you know you're not going to have him on this year's team, you would like his new team to pay that instead of paying it yourself. So that's really the deadline. You know, so until you get to the point where you feel like no one's going to offer any more, then there's no reason to really pull the trigger yet on this. So they've been out there trying to see if they could get the offers to improve. I think they're at a point where they know what it's going to be ultimately or close to it, and it's something that could happen probably pretty soon. Though, again, if they decided to wait, it's because they had some hope of improving the offer.
And so quickly, Torrey, I mean, you were there for the whole Carson-Nick Foles saga. If they were to do what Jaws is talking about and bring Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts both back, I believe you said at the beginning of this conversation, you think he's mentally tough enough for that. Do you think that is a circumstance that could work if it is what happens?
I believe so. I mean, as a player, your job is to compete. As a receiver, I've been on teams and they've drafted endless receivers. Dominique's been a cornerback. They're going to always draft people to be behind you.
Yep.
Now, for some reason in the NFL, quarterbacks are very fragile. Right. And you have to build around them. And it should be that way, because I feel like those are the leaders of your team and they want to be sure it's their team. As a receiver, it's never your team. But as a quarterback, that matters.
Yes. If there's one thing I've learned over the years, as the receiver, it's your team. Everyone in the stands is there to see you. There's no question of that, regardless of who is throwing you the ball. OK. Meanwhile, I had an absolutely great moment on my radio show yesterday. We'll make this Meanwhile on Planet Earth, which is brought to you by Whole Foods. I had the legendary Dan Dierdorf on my radio show yesterday, member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, longtime announcer, and he, unprompted, said this.
I watch Get Up every morning. Nah, I don't watch it live because I tape it, but mm-hmm. I got to tell you, the reason I watch it is that I like to laugh, and you guys make me laugh. Some of your sidekicks are genuinely funny people. And, that you know, that's the best part of your show, is the way you guys, you know, don't take yourselves too seriously.
So that was an unprompted compliment from one of the genuine legends in pro football history. And Dominique is one of my favorite sidekicks.
You stop that right now. We're not going to perpetuate this. Like, that felt like a compliment. And I was like, oh, nice. The Hall of Famer appreciates me. That feels good. Then he called me a sidekick while he's sitting there looking like a chauffeur. Like, aren't you inside your house? Why you got on that driving hat if you inside your house, chauffeur Dierdorf? What happened? What'd you do with all that announcing money that you got to be driving people right now in this pandemic? Man, take that hat off.
This is the second legend you are now going to get in a fight with. First, you question whether Terry Bradshaw belongs in the Hall of Fame or not. He accosts me in a hotel lobby because of what you said. Now, Dan Dierdorf pays our show a compliment, and you are somehow so sensitive that you're letting the word sidekick offend you.
First of all, I have nothing bad to say about the original TB12. Terry Bradshaw is my favorite quarterback of all time. I love you, Terry. But Dan, me and you got beef. Don't let me see you in the streets, man. That's a sidekick? I'm nobody's Robin. Look at this face. This is a Batman face.
I mean, of course, and Torrey, I just want to make sure you're aware of what you're stepping into here today. The original kings of comedy did come from Culture Wednesday on this program, and you see them lined up there, the legends that they are. And listen, I mean, however we don't describe it, Torrey, your thoughts on all of this?
Hey, I'm ready for the tour when everything's open and they can fill up the arenas.
Torrey, you're in. And Graziano, you're a huge part of what we do here all the time, and everyone's laughing all the time, and you're contributing to this. Don't you think it's nice what Dan Dierdorf said?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I do think it's nice. I don't have an ego the size of Dominique Foxworth to the point where the word sidekick would bother me. Happy to be a sidekick here on Wednesdays. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. I contribute what I can, and I'm glad that people are watching and enjoying it. That's how I feel, because I'm a team guy, Greeny. I'm a team-first guy, and I'm not going to get too worked up over these kinds of, you know, the labels that people throw around.
Dan, your ego is not as big because you're not as good as me. That's what it comes down to. Bottom line. You know who says they're team guys? Guys who need the team. I am a star. Yeah. I don't need none of y'all. Give me my own show. I'm done with this.
Very well played. And Dan Dierdorf, we love you. You're the best. As we continue, should the Bucks pursue the amazing talents of Odell Beckham or bring back Chris Godwin? We've got answers to questions like those as we roll on. Get up on ESPN.
Question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
Amazing team.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Now is the time when I fire a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions to the true star of this show, Dominique Foxworth, Dan Dierdorf's favorite analyst. And he will have to tell me whether he wants to or not. He will have to directly answer the question. And here we go. First one. Dominique, how many quarterbacks in the National Football League are definitively better than a healthy Dak Prescott?
I think it's four, maybe. Yeah, I think it's probably four that I know are definitively better. Everyone else, I think, is either worse or there's a conversation. I think it's Mahomes, then you got Rodgers, Watson, and I guess Tom Brady coming off the Super Bowl you can throw in there, too, as being better than him. But I don't think there's anybody else who's done the things that he's done on a consistent basis. I think guys like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have popped up to have really great seasons, but consistently every year. I think Dak Prescott there's only four guys that I would pick ahead of him.
Okay, fair enough. That's a fair answer. I had thought of those two other guys. Next question. Who would you rather have on your team next season, all other things being equal? Chris Godwin or Odell Beckham Jr.?
I think you're going to disagree with this one. I'm going with OBJ. I think Chris Godwin is a great receiver, and he's obviously been much more productive than Odell Beckham has been in recent years. And I think there's also a consideration for the personality that Odell Beckham brings to the team that might be a drawback. But when you think of Odell Beckham at his very best, at his peak, I think he has the capacity to be the best receiver in his league, and he was at certain points. So I'd rather shoot for that higher ceiling than go for Chris Godwin, who I think is probably a safer pick given all things considered.
I don't actually disagree with it. It's something I think we should dive into a little bit more because, as you said, there are variables that factor in. But last question for here. Who should the Steelers be thinking about as Ben Roethlisberger's successor?
I think Jameis Winston. He comes to mind. And I know it's hard when you make quarterback comparisons. Well, it's not hard. I think a lot of people fall back on some easy things that are similar in players to make those comparisons. But I think Jameis Winston, the guy who he plays when he's at his best, who he's most like, is Ben Roethlisberger. He's big, statuesque kind of guy who is not very mobile, who can stand in the pocket and take hits and deliver big plays down the field and likes to attack down the field. I know Ben Roethlisberger didn't do that much last year, but at his best, he's a guy who wants to attack down the field and wants to stay in the pocket, very much like Jameis Winston.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. We'll see if Jameis winds up being the quarterback in New Orleans this year or not. All right, that's answered the question. Meanwhile, I have some more questions, and they are about this man, LeBron James. So shortly after LeBron and the Miami Heat lost the finals in 2011, came an NBA lockout. And during that time, the former All-State wide receiver in high school, you are looking at pictures of LeBron James playing football in high school, he says he could have made the switch to the NFL if he wanted to. Here are the quotes. I would have made the team. If I would have had to try out for the Cowboys or the Seahawks, or if I had stayed home and went back to Cleveland, I'd have tried out, but I would have made the team. I just know what I'm capable of doing on the football field, especially at that age. Those are interesting comments. Let's talk about this. And look who's here to talk about him. The big fella and LeBron James' biggest fan, our buddy Kendrick Perkins. And we're delighted to see that you're doing well down there. We know you've had all kinds of problems with the weather and everything. Great to see you. And our best wishes to everybody down there in Texas fighting through these storms. But Kendrick, let's start there. How good a football player would LeBron James have been?
Greeny, listen, you already know this is a sensitive subject with two former football players on here. They already think that basketball players are soft. But look, he would have dominated. I'm talking about Megatron style, right? You talking about a 6'9", 250-pound wideout that had a 4'3 speed, 40-inch vertical. Who was stopping him? It sure wouldn't have been Dominique Foxworth. I wish Foxworth would have lined up head-to-head. He would have gotten there at work. So, look, Granny, it's a sensitive subject right now. And look, if you want to ruffle the feathers this morning, let's get it.
Dominique, go ahead.
He came in fighting. I was going to agree. I think LeBron James wouldn't succeed because he's LeBron James. But I do have to quit with one thing. That man ain't never run a 4-3 in his life. Everybody ran a 4-3 in high school. He can't run no 4-3. Get out of here. You stop that. I do think he would probably be an all-pro in the NFL at a number of different positions. But he can't run like me and Torrey. Just get out of here with all that foolishness.
Burke?
Hey, listen, I'm telling you, the guy's a freak of nature. That's all I got to say.
All right, Torrey, what position is LeBron James playing on the football field? You're the coach. LeBron James has tried out and made your roster. What position are you playing him at?
Oh, he's going to be the X. He's going to be out wide. He's going to be by himself, and he's going to be matched up against someone like Dominique Foxworth, and he's going to Randy him the entire game. He doesn't have to be able to do anything great. All I need you to do is just run fades and go win the jump ball. That's the thing about it. In football, you don't have to be able to do a bunch of different things. You just have to be able to do one thing really well. And LeBron James can go and get that ball, and he would dunk on Dominique Foxworth.
So all this jealousy is painful, but let's be clear about one thing. Randy didn't Randy me. So LeBron's not going to come and Randy me. You just stop that right now. When I played Randy Moss, I was like, you know what? You can have everything 20 and below, but you're not going to go over the top on me, and I would do the same thing for the LeBron James. I'm not saying I'm better than either of them, but I'm saying that I'm not going to be on their highlight tape. All them highlights, I played against Randy Moss 2 times a year for 3 seasons, I think. You can't find my face in none of them joints.
Okay, now let me just throw a different thought at you, Big Perk, because generally speaking, A, I agree with you, and B, I love how you came at Neek immediately today. But here's my question. This flopping business. See, in football, they don't do this. When someone, like, sort of swings their arm in your general vicinity, you don't fly to the ground like you've just been taken out by a bowling ball.
Receivers so, do. Torrey does. Receivers do it all the time, Greeny.
Big Perk.
Granny, listen, it's a new day and age, right? You have to adapt to your generation. This is what the game is. Time and time again, I hear guys like you and Stephen A. call this new league soft, and this is why. So you got to join them. If you can't beat them, join them. It's all about selling it to the referees. You got to be able to act to play in the NBA. That's just what it is.
How about the NFL, Torrey? Are you selling it? Are you selling when you're out there and these guys are anywhere near you, are you selling that you're being held?
No, the only thing, oh, for sure. Well, you don't have to sell it when they're out there holding everything that they have. Dominique, in practice, has pass interference me every play. I've never seen him not hold. But on the other side of that, when you talk about basketball, there's no flopping in football like basketball. Basketball, the comparison to that is soccer. Those are the two most dramatic sports, and the greatest actors play soccer and basketball, and honestly, it's out of control.
Yeah, so, they should come out with that spray in the NBA and spray these guys after they pretend they got hit. But the one thing, Dominique, you can fight back with today, you told me about this, I didn't know it existed, was the Draymond Green tape.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's show it.
Yeah, not all basketball players can play in the NFL. Not all of them.
What are we seeing here?
False start.
Look. Sometimes you just got that IQ for one sport, Granny, but this is hard.
Oh! Fight back!
Big Perk, you're so big. You must have played football. What did you do in football?
I played tight end and D end, green end. Look, I was a problem. I'm going to send you some tape later on so you can run it next time I'm on the show. But I'm telling you, I was a problem coming off that front line. And I wasn't afraid to get in the trenches, Greeny. I knew how to block. I played my role. I was a star in my role.
I mean, if football players could play basketball, we would absolutely be doing that over playing football. So I think they made the right choice. Good for them.
If you had the choice between being a basketball player, if those were your options, Torrey Smith, which one are you choosing?
Basketball. You can do so much more in football unless you're the quarterback. You know, you're doing one thing, basketball. You know, I can strap guys up. You know, I can be out there dunking on people, making sports in the top 10 every night. Like, you don't have to wait once a week for a part of the year. Like, put me out there, man. I wish I could do it. That's my dream. I'm going to go get them a 2K tonight.
I love it. Big Perk is coming back. We're talking more hoops as we continue. And then I'll remind you, our Wednesday doubleheader has got John Wall and the Rockets taking on Joel Embiid and the Sixers. That's tonight, 7:30 Eastern. And it's followed by Jimmy and the Heat taking on Steph and Golden State. Good night of basketball here starts with Stephen A's pregame sports center at 7 Eastern. Coming up, it may take an unprecedented haul to get the Texans to release their franchise quarterback. But there is a team out there that seems willing to do it. And you'll hear exactly who and why next. Get up on ESPN.